So the NFL Combine happened last week. It's a big deal for the Browns, who have the second pick in the draft. And it's kind of a time when, what, the analytics guys that they've brought in are meeting the football guys.
Right, and they're actually both looking at something.
Okay.
Hugh Jackson, new coach, former offensive coordinator with the Bengals, former head coach of the Oakland Raiders, an NFL animal, as he would call himself, a lifer, you know. Not a big numbers guy. And his staff is a bunch of older coaches. They are now actually working football with Sashi Brown, the Harvard lawyer.
Right.
And salary cap guy. Paul DePodesta, the Harvard-trained baseball stats guy. And then Andrew Berry, who was hired, another Harvard guy, although he was he's primarily on the football side, but his degree is in economics.
Wow.
So these guys, what you really see is they're looking at the top prospects, for example, Carson Wentz from North Dakota State, Jared Goff from California, all these other guys, through two entirely different lenses, the football lens and the analytics lens. But they're actually not together.
Okay.
Because what do the Cavs need to do come the draft?
The Browns,
what do the Browns need to do come the draft?
What, they need to figure out if they're going to take a quarterback or what? Or?
Right, and they have to figure out a way of putting together a draft board.
Okay.
With these two schools of thought, the old and the new.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's happening. There's a whole bunch of old-line NFL football people looking at what the Cavs are doing. I'm sorry, looking at what the Browns are doing. And guess what they're thinking?
What's that?
I hope it fails.
Really?
They don't want the Harvard types to succeed. They want to do it with their own stopwatches and their own way of doing it.
Because this is really different.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
Every team has analytics to an extent. Bill Belichick, who says, A, I hate analytics, and B, I don't use it. C, he's lying. He has a guy named Ernie Adams. Ernie Adams has been with him for 20-some years. He's called, Patriots Research Director. In fact, for years, nobody can figure out what he did. I know what he's been doing. He's been their numbers guy.
Uh-huh.
And he gives Bill this data, and they work with it.
Right.
But Bill, of course, doesn't want anybody else to do it. But the Browns are the first team to be so overt and so ahead of everyone else in terms of just saying, this is our primary view of football is going to be driven by stats and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How have their drafts been lately, Amanda?
Just awful.
Awful. And frankly, most free agent signings have been?
Not that impressive.
No. Not as bad as the drafts, but not
right.
Very good.
Yeah.
So if you're Jimmy Haslam, the owner, and you've been looking at sort of the old way of doing business, it makes sense that you want to bring in some of these others. Because, see, now on the baseball end, the stats guys have taken over most of the front offices.
Yeah, right.
You know, you look at, for example, the Indians. Kansas City Royals are another team. A guy named Dayton Moore is their general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Antonetti. These guys, they might have played some college baseball or whatever, but they were not former minor leaguers. They're not former coaches. They are guys with a baseball background and very driven statistically, you know, to pick players and so on. So the Browns are going to try and do it that way. And I think one of the things that really convinced them, Jimmy Haslam, to change it, is Joe Banner, who was only here for a year as CEO, he actually was very interested in analytics. And he hired some of these people to do some things. And one of the things that they did was they did this whole quarterback report on the 2014 draft. That was a Johnny Manziel draft. And the results of their analytics study was that they ranked Teddy Bridgewater number one, Derek Carr number two, Blake Bortles number three, and Johnny Manziel was red flagged, big risk, problems, and so on.
Right.
Now, we'll see if in that order that ends up being the top three quarterbacks. But clearly they were right on Manziel.
Yeah.
Paul DePodesta, I talked to him after one of his press conferences, and I chatted a little bit about it. He goes, I don't want to get in the report. I said, but, because he didn't do it, but I said, Paul, it seems to me one thing analytics can do is say, don't draft this guy. He said, exactly. He said, sometimes our role is to say, you may have to decide between these two safeties or whatever, these three guys, which one is the best. It's close. But I'm telling you right now, the last seven guys that came from this background and had this type of thing have failed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that guy, you know, you're really defying the odds. Well, here would be an example, not just Manziel. In 2012, the Browns drafted a quarterback. Do you remember who it was? He was 27 years old at the time.
Was it Whedon?
Brandon Whedon.
Yeah.
There's all these history and analytics studies that show these older quarterbacks don't cut it.
No.
I think you have to go back to like Roger Staubach out of the Naval Academy who did well, mm-hmm. you know. But the rest of these guys don't do well.
Yeah.
The Browns took Whedon in the first round, which is considered too high to begin with. And what happened with him?
Yeah, it was a bust.
It was a bust, yeah. He's still in the league, but he's just a guy floating around.
Right.
And so that's the kind of thing where I'm hoping you use Hugh Jackson's just knowledge of football. In other words, you put Hugh Jackson in the right swimming pool where the right fish are and let him figure out which one he wants. Just so he doesn't stick his hand and get bit by a shark.
Right, right.
Which is what happened with Manziel.
Okay, interesting. So they have like a month, what is it, April 28th, I think?
Yeah.
So are they still going to be crunching these numbers and everything?
Oh,
and
sure.
It's going to go on for a little while.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, then they'll bring in another where they're going to be working the numbers is March 9th begins. That's when Johnny Manziel will be cut, by the way, is March 9th.
Right.
But that's when they start to hire veteran free agents. Well, there's all kinds of stats showing what type of free agents to sign at what age.
Hmm.
I was surprised on this. An analytics guy told me, well, if you had to guess, Amanda, who do you think would probably be, like, what guys wear out the most? In other words, get hurt the most, the lifespan the shortest. Who do you think?
I would think the running backs. Running backs.
Yeah, because they make sense.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed a second. So the guy said, you're right. And he goes, who do you think's number two?
No idea.
I said receivers. I just guessed safeties.
Huh, interesting.
And I said, well, why would that be? Why safeties as opposed to a cornerback is a guy who covers a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Safety sometimes covers a wide receiver, but sometimes he's running up to the line of scrimmage to tackle running backs and things. He says a safety, especially what's called a strong safety, he tends to be up on the line, is tackling guys who tend to be heavier. Most of these guys are like 5'11", 190. These safeties are 200.
Mm.
He said, furthermore, you know, linebackers make a ton of tackles. He goes, they last a long time, but they're 40 or 50 pounds heavier than a safety.
Hmm.
And wow. They always talk about how a safety kind of plays like a missile, just heaves his body in.
Mm-hmm.
He says their lifespan is almost as poor as running backs.
Hmm.
Now, that's significant. For example, the Browns have a safety as a free agent named Tayshawn Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you sign him for?
Right.
He's already had a high ankle sprain. He missed 3 games last year. The year before, he missed 5 games because he had a MCL knee problem. He's only his 4th year as a pro.
Hmm.
I mean, do you sign him long-term? If you look at this, see, again, this is where analytics comes into play. The football guys will say, oh, he'll get over it. When he plays, he's a pretty good player. We want him. And the analytics guys will say, everything you said there is true. The only thing is, he's already had 2 injuries, and these guys get hurt.
Right.
So that's the kind of stuff will be interesting to see. Who they sign during free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Analytics tells you this. Sign a guy in his middle to late 20s to a long-term contract. Don't sign these guys at 30 because they're not going to. Basically, it's the old thing. You're paying for what they've done as opposed to what they can do.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Amanda.